facing disappointment with faith. All of us have faced disappointment at one time or another, perhaps even multiple times. Depending on the situation, the disappointment can range from a mild frustration to a crushing blow. Disappointment is identified as sadness or displeasure that occurs when our hopes or expectations go unfulfilled. It may even refer to a person, event, or situation that fails to meet our expectations, and this disconnect between expectations and reality is the place that disappointment lives, and it wreaks potential havoc on every area of our lives. As one person said, expectation is the root of all heartache. Physically, when disappointment strikes, our dopamine levels, which were elevated by our anticipation of a glorious, happy outcome, dramatically drops. This sudden decrease bottoms out our emotions, resulting in feelings of frustration and even sadness. Depending on how repetitive this happens, we may begin to feel pessimistic about our future opportunities, relationships, or decisions. In some cases, our decision-making processes may become warped, resulting either in a second-guessing our choices and being afraid to do anything, or conversely, making impulsive decisions without carefully thinking through the consequences. Spiritually, disappointment can trigger a sense of hopelessness in our relationship with God. We may feel as if we have let him down and not done what he's asked us to do or done it well enough. On the other hand, we may feel that he has let us down if the disappointment relates to an unanswered prayer or a resounding no to a request. We may begin to wonder what the point or purpose is in being a Christian if God isn't willing or able to answer our prayers. If our disappointment stems from seeing a situation that we prayed about falling through, we may doubt that we can even hear from God at all, and the verse that says his sheep hears his voice accuses us that we don't even know him as our shepherd. For if we can't discern his voice or understand his will, then how can we think our relationship with him is real, and we can knowingly follow his plan for our lives? All of those are frightening thoughts. It can also make us think that God doesn't love us at all, for if he did, he'd show us his blessings or favor. For some reason, then we believe that God is like Father Christmas or Amazon, and we can ask and he delivers. After all, aren't there so many verses that tell us that if we pray, God will answer? For instance, it says, since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. But we don't marry that verse with the one right before, which says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Similarly, we read, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. But we don't check out the context where Jesus explains that your heavenly Father only gives good gifts to those who ask him. He knows what we need or should have, good gifts, and he won't give us anything else. In the same way, when Jesus says to the disciples, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father, here again it's speaking about us being able to do even greater works than Jesus has done in order that we can bring glory to our Heavenly Father, which should make us realize that the request has to bring glory to God. We could also read Jesus' instructions to our private prayer room and pray, then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. In actuality, the verse does not say God will answer in the way we ask or want, but rather he will reward us with his presence and his peace. Bringing greater revelation of his will in that situation, which is the best gift of all. In my Christian life, I have certainly read all of these verses and attributed them to favorable answer to prayer, believing that God wanted to say yes and amen to everything I asked for. Yet I've certainly discovered that's not the case, and have felt the ache of disappointment when the answers weren't what I wanted. For instance, one time my husband and I were looking for a car and found an old Mercedes going for a very low price. On the outside, it looked great, but on the inside, the seats were lumpy and the engine was raspy. To be sure of our purchase decision, my husband and I prayed and felt a clear answer to buy the car. It was a dud, and over the next few months, we had to put three times as much money into it than what we'd paid for it, just to try to keep it running. Having believed that we'd heard from God and obeyed his advice, I was extremely disappointed at the outcome. Of course, it made me somewhat skeptical that the yeses I'm hearing are from God. But rather than this being a bad thing, it actually created a more careful decision-making process. My husband and I still ask God before making a purchase or any other decision, but we're more vigilant now than ever before, waiting and seeking confirmation to ensure we're not making any impulsive, I want this, decisions. In fact, it's helped us push our wants aside to ensure that our desires aren't getting in the way of what God is saying. It's been a great lesson, teaching us to pray with the right heart attitude and trusting God with the outcome. Of course, there are still times that we've prayed and moved in a particular direction, and as a result of what we believed was God's guidance, still face disappointment. Then, when those times happen, we have to look more shrewdly at the situation and at God's purpose for the disappointment. Jesus told the disciples, "Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." God may well have guided us into these situations that are filled with thorns and thistles. Job certainly experienced it, but the test came from Satan, not God. In fact, God made very sure that the enemy only had so much leverage in his attacks against Job. And in the end, God showed Job his grandeur and magnificence and restored him to more than he had before. Paul experienced similar disappointments in his ministry. Hassled persistently by the Jewish leaders he was called to preach to, Paul finally turned to the Gentiles, who also beleaguered him with accusations, beatings, and imprisonment. Yet he pressed on, aware that suffering is also part of his call. But what was his greatest disappointment? But those friends in the ministry who let him down or abandoned him. We see this when a disagreement with Barabbas or Barnabas arose over whether to take John Mark along with them on their next missionary journey. Paul felt that John Mark was an untrustworthy companion, having deserted them in Pamphylia. Barnabas, however, believed that John Mark was still a worthy helper. This disagreement became so heated, Paul and Barnabas split apart, Paul heading to Syria with Silas and Barnabas sailing to Cyprus with John Mark. We've all experienced that kind of split in Christian friendships, and it's painful. It's not for me to say if God was pleased that this happened, for we don't know, but he did work it out for good, as he does with everything in our lives. Good, you say? Yes. We now have two effective missionary teams heading out to share the gospel. Barnabas, we learn, helps lead a church in Salamis, while he also mentored John Mark in the deeper ways of God. Paul raises up a spiritual son, Timothy, and along with Silas, strengthens the churches in Derbe, Lystra, before heading on to Philippi and Thessalonica. Fortunately, it appears that over time he reconciles with Barnabas, commending his tireless work for the Lord, and Paul even requests Timothy to come to him as he'll be helpful in Paul's ministry. Even if reconciliation never occurs, God still uses the fruit of those friendships to encourage us in how we relate and work with others, giving us time to reflect on what went wrong, grieve the loss, and gain insights which will help us adjust our expectations in ourselves, others, and God. The important thing is to see God as our eternal refuge, who will listen to all of our hurts, collect all of our tears, and reframe our point of reference onto him. Martin Luther King, who certainly understood disappointment, advised, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." His encouragement directs our eyes upward to the one who watches over our lives. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Thus, beloved, we can face disappointment with faith.